Blog Talk Radio.
Marquette family, and to all of you, let's welcome the head men's basketball coach at Marquette University, Steve Wojciechowski.
I am honored to take the lead of this program and build it to amazing heights. Marquette is a place that I've admired from a distance for a long time. In the last few days, I've had a chance to experience it up close and personal, and it's exceeded every expectation. I come from a place where the students at the university and the basketball team are one, and that's what I want to do here. We want our team to represent our student body, our alumni, and all the employees of the university in the very highest manner, and be a source of pride and growth and excitement when you watch us play, when you see us on campus, and do what we do. My sole focus is on Marquette. This is a place, I didn't leave the job I was at, working for the guy I did, my alma mater, to go to a place that I couldn't see my family at for an incredibly long time.
Bruce City Ball Radio's Inside the L with Zach and IWB. He's Zach Klubchak. I'm IWB Jim Ganser. Marquette continues to struggle a little bit, losing to Villanova at home over the weekend. National Marquette Day, huge crowd to Bradley Center. Playing without Matt Carlino, playing without Juan Anderson. 8 strong, dropped down to 7 strong, then 6 strong. With a player falling out, they had to finish the game with a walk-on. Things have been better. Things have looked better. Things looked great last night as Marquette secured a commitment from 6'5 shooting guard Sakar Anim from Minneapolis De La Salle. A great get by Steve Wojciechowski and Mark Phelps, assistant coach, assisting on the recruiting with that one. An exciting player, a great player to look forward to, the future Marquette basketball. But for now, let's talk about this year's team. Zach, they couldn't get over that hump against Villanova. Even they tried, they came back close a couple of times. Villanova just too good, Marquette just too shorthanded. Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with that. I mean, it's really tough just to play with 6 players. I was really proud of the way they were on a Saturday for the fact that you had a team with only 6 scholarship players playing. You lose Carlino out another game. It's really tough so far with him. I mean, hopefully he can get out there soon. And then also you have, I mean, Juan Anderson, your glue guy out there. He's been big all year, and to get an ankle injury in practice, and that kind of hurt too. You only had 1 player off the bench. And Villanova's a great team, though. They're number 6 in the country for a reason. They're deep. They got great guard play, and just the fact that Marquette kept this close the whole time, I think it truly was a game where it didn't really matter what the score was. I think all of us as fans and part of this team really were proud of the way they fought the whole time.
I don't think there's any question, Zach. You know, this team, despite the lack of success they've had this season, there is a lot of fight left in them. They're not giving up. You know, Derek Wilson had said in the post-game press conference that he is still having fun despite the record. He said, you know, it is frustrating that they want to win and they're doing everything they can. But he says he's known enough talking to former players over the years that, win or lose, the memories you're having playing college ball, the memories in the locker room with your teammates, your friends, your brothers, are really what defines you and are really what's going to carry you throughout the rest of your life. I believe his exact words were, down the road you don't remember the games, it's the times you spent with your teammates that you really remember. And I think that's something that really rings true. Derek Wilson, Juan Anderson, been at Marquette for 4 years apiece. Not the way they want to close out their senior campaign, but still fine representatives of the Marquette basketball program, Marquette University in general. Two guys that I've gotten to know real well, and two guys that I cannot say enough positive things about. Just great people. Derek Wilson from Anchorage, Alaska. Juan Anderson from Oakland, California. And also Matt Carlino. Only been here 1 year, but Matt's also, you know, obviously made his mark in the program. You know, you see an obvious difference when the team's leading scorer is hurt and misses a few games due to the concussion he suffered, obviously a severe concussion he suffered a couple of weeks ago on that nasty fall near the hoop. It's going to be sad to see those guys go, but there is still some basketball to be played, and there is still some Marquette Golden Eagles that are fighting their butts off each and every day for the Marquette basketball program. We got a great show tonight. Of course, we'll have the newest Marquette Golden Eagle, future Golden Eagle, Sakar Anim. He'll be joining us later in the show, the 6'5 guard out of Minneapolis, currently averaging 25 points and 6 rebounds per game for De La Salle up in Minnesota, currently in the state sectionals up there. They play Thursday night, and we'll also be joined, we got a lot of stat fans out there, by Andy Martinelli, stat guru from Mizzix.com. If you're familiar with Mizzix, they do quite a bit with basketball as well as other things, showing you what statistics can do for you. So he'll be with us on the show as well. You know, Zach, as we close out this home stretch, you know, each week we've been on air talking about how we see that this team is turning the corner, and it seems like every time they do turn that corner, something else happens. First, Matt Carlino goes down with the concussion. And the team still fights, and the team still does well. And then you suffer the loss to Juan Anderson. You know, Juan was out there pregame warm-ups. I know he wanted to go. If you know Juan Anderson, you know there's nothing in the world he would rather do than be out there with his team fighting. But obviously hobbled on that ankle that he turned in practice last week and just couldn't go. Zach, what is it with this team? Are they snake-bitten? Are they really testing Wojo? Are they, you know, are the basketball gods testing Wojo to see how much he can handle? What do you think it is?
That's a good question. I mean, honestly, if you were to go in this year, and I don't think any of us could predict how much just adversity this team has had to go through with not only the injuries, but also losing Deontay Burton, Dawson. You lose Todd Mayo going into this year. They've lost a ton of players, and yet, I mean, they're still fighting. I think it's a really testament to the way Coach Wojo is. And it's tough. I mean, this is definitely one of the tougher years as a program I think we've had in recent memory. I mean, I think I saw a stat. This might be the first, if they lose one of the next four games, it'll be the first losing season or record since 1990, 1991. So you definitely have had a lot of success in that time where it's definitely kind of just, it's tough. But I think a lot of people, again, too, we knew this year was kind of that stepping stone year. And I think, again, we're getting a lot out of it. We're seeing a lot of growth with this team. And I know it's not coming in wins, but they've been there besides maybe one or two games every game. And I think this one Saturday is one that you really can tip your hat on and you really can be proud of them for. I mean, you played with 6 scholarship players, 1 person off the bench, and you kept it within 10 points the whole game to the number 6 team in the country. There were times where Villanova could easily blown this one open, could have won by 20 or 30, and I don't think we would have been like that upset because we saw how much it was just a tough uphill climb for them. But they really battled in. They kept coming back. They kept fighting. They clawed back. They got it under 10 a couple times. And it just really just shows just the fight of these players. And they're growing. This is – Wojo said this in the press conference. This is definitely – a huge learning experience for this team. You're getting all your young guys, your sophomores, your freshmen, all experienced. And he made a point, too. If you look, kind of made just a similar comparison to Villanova when they had their Achefu and Pinkston and Hiller, when they were started out, they only won 13 games their freshman year. So, though, I mean, if you can put in comparison, it is a learning experience right now. It's what really... They're growing, and I mean, you could see it. I think one player who's taken a huge advantage of this is Juwan Johnson, and I'm really happy to say. I mean, he's had an up and down season. We've seen that. He's had times he was benched in that Xavier game, and now he he's having his, I think, best 3 or 4 game stretch we've seen of him all year, and I think that's exciting. I think there's more to come with him. You're seeing great minutes from Sandy Cohen. He played 29 minutes on Saturday for a freshman. So those are valuable minutes. No matter what, him just being out there, getting involved, I think it really is going to help next year. This year is a tough year. It's a building year, but you get these guys' experience now, and then next year you bring in the big guns and you bring in some great recruits, and then you build from there. And I think this year will have a huge impact going into next.
You know, Zach, a couple of things you said, you're absolutely right. You know, it is a kind of rebuilding year, which is something that it really bothers me to say. I don't think any year should ever be a rebuilding year in college basketball because, you know, these guys as a team only have 4 years to compete. And as I mentioned before, you hate to see it for guys like Derek Wilson and Juan Anderson, who have done nothing but bust their butts the whole time they've been at Marquette, to have to spend their season year in a rebuilding year. But it is. And you know, like you said, getting that many minutes for a guy like Sandy Cohen, putting a guy like Dwayne Wilson in an actual leadership role, getting those minutes for Juwan Johnson, you know, that is more than valuable. I mean, that is incredible. Especially when you mention that, you know, you're playing a team like Villanova. I mean, you look at it, you got 6 guys, and you take Villanova to the wire. I mean, that's, you know, just an incredible, incredible effort by that team. And, you know, when you look at Villanova, obviously one of the top teams in the country. And if you look at tonight, you got some pretty good Big East action tonight. Right now you got Providence ranked number 25 going up against Villanova. Villanova's up by 6 a little bit into the second half. But Villanova is one of the best teams in the country, and it's somebody that, you know, everybody will be, you know, Big East fans will be looking at their sheets come conference tournament time, a very good team, and somebody that, you know, will be looking forward to play in not only the Big East tournament, but in the NCAA tournament. NCAA tournament, that'll be a team that I'm going to pick to go quite a ways, not just because I'm a Big East homer, but because both times that I've seen Villanova play this year, and I know we had you know, a Villanova guest on our show a couple weeks back, they are probably the most well-balanced college basketball team I have seen in a while. I mean, when you've got 5 guys that all average between 9 and 10 points a game on one roster, that's pretty incredible. They all know their roles. They're obviously very well coached with Jay Wright. And you've got an experienced team. You've got some seniors on that team, some juniors. Very well-balanced team, a lot of talent. And for the fact that Marquette took them as far as they did with only 6 guys, that says quite a bit. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, as I said, we'll have Statmaster Andy Martinelli from Mizzix.com. But before we go, do you have questions about retirement? As an Ameriprise financial advisor, Thomas Nolan, a Marquette alumnus, can help with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach that can help you find a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. Call financial advisor Thomas Nolan today at 630-743-7906. His office is located in Downers Grove, Illinois. One more time, that's 630-743-7906. Thomas Nolan, former Marquette student, Marquette alumnus, Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA, NSIPC. Confident retirement is not a guarantee of future financial results. We're going to take a quick break. Stick around, Marquette fans. We'll be back in just a moment.
After wave, wave after wave, so interesting. And it feels like the drive. of water. My feet can't touch the ground. Touch the ground and it feels nice. I can see the sands on the horizon at times. You are not around, so we drift away. Wave after wave, wave after wave. So we drifting, drifting away. And it feels like I'm drowning, pulling against the stream, pulling against the.
City Ball Radio's Inside the Al with Zach and IWB. We're back. Got a great show tonight. We'll be joined by the newest Marquette Golden Eagle, Sakar Anim, a new commitment for Coach Steve Wojciechowski, assistant coach Mark Nelson, or excuse me, Mark Phelps. Apologize for that. And we'll also have stats master Andy Martinelli from Mizzix talking about the Marquette-Butler matchup. Should be an interesting conversation. I know we got a lot of stat heads out there taking an in-depth look, breaking down that game like nobody else can. It's always interesting to see some of those things. Marquette stumbling, losing to Villanova, losses keep piling up. Post-game appearance looking more and more unlikely. I know we waved goodbye to the NCAAs a little while back, but there was still some hope for the NIT. That's starting to look more and more like it's not going to happen. Hate to say that, but Marquette is still fighting young players, getting a lot of experience, and some of the older guys want to go out on top. So hopefully they can put together a couple of wins here. Down that home stretch to send off Derek Wilson, Juan Anderson, and Matt Carlino in style. Zach, we're going to be looking at Butler coming up pretty soon. What do you think Marquette's got to do to win that game?
Well, you saw, last time we played them, we had a pretty good lead, played them pretty well. It was one of the better games they've played in a while, and they just need to finish. I think, honestly, that's the biggest thing, and I don't think Butler's going to have their big guy this time. I believe he still has that fractured hand, if I'm not mistaken, so I think that could be big. He definitely put up 35 the last time we played, so without him, it should be a little bit better, hopefully, but we'll have to see if Carlino plays. That's a big if still, and Juan too, so you gotta see who's healthy here. We could be down to six guys again.
Zach, I think we'll be back to more than six. Juan, I know he was hobbled, but I think a couple days off will help him. And Kermet Carlino has been with the team. He's been, traveling with the team. He's been day to day. So I do think he'll be back for that. So I think we will have a few more bodies for that game. But, you know, one thing that's always interested me, Zach, is, you know, you sit at the game at the Bradley Center, and they have the different things that pop up on the Jumbotron, and you'll usually see at some point the Mizzix stat of the game. For example, I know a couple games ago it was Marquette has a record of, say, 10-4 when they hold the opponent under 32% shooting from three, and the opponent shoots 31% from three. So different things like that. I love seeing those things. It's a different way to look. It's a different way to break things down. Right now we have with us from Mizzix.com, Andy Martinelli. Andy, how you doing tonight?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good. We're doing great. We're doing great. First off, before we get into the Marquette-Butler game, tell us a little bit about Mizzix. I know for a lot of people out there, this name just pops up. They don't know, really know what it is. They just know the Mizzix stat of the game, or they might see your reports online. Tell us a little bit about Mizzix.
What we do, actually, is we're a consulting firm, a marketing consulting firm, and we have an analytics portion or an offering that we have, and I'm in charge of it. And we actually just do the basketball stuff for fun. I actually have a buddy, Patrick Collins, who turned me on to doing this as a way to drum up some business. So this was just something we did for fun, and it sort of took off. So we've been doing it more and more. And we actually have a sponsorship with Marquette Basketball, and that's really why we do a lot of the write-ups before the games, and that's why our stat of the game is on the Jumbotron at home games.
Well, so for something that you're doing for fun, it is extremely informative, and it's a great way to look at some of these matchups and look at some of these games. Something that the casual fan is just not going to look at the stats and see. So let's talk about your latest breakdown here with the Marquette-Butler game. First off, am I saying it right? Is it Mizzix or is it My Six?
It's My Six, but we get Mizzix all the time, so it's one of those
things. I apologize for the error. But right now you got My Six keys to the game. You got one, new territory; two, a small issue; three, second chance defense; four, Butler on the boards; five, the Porpa problems, and I want you to get into Porpa a little bit; and six, defense in decline. Explain the keys to the game to us.
Well, a lot of these come from just a bunch of us watching games. We are big Marquette fans at the office. Actually, four or five of us actually went there. So we come up with different keys based on who we're playing. And for each game, we kind of look at what happened last time. And for Butler, one of the clear things we saw was offensive rebounding. There were nine offensive rebounds. That's the most Marquette's given up in conference. But as the post points out, we don't defend the offensive rebound very well. So I figured we'd take a look at, you know, we're giving up offensive rebounds, but how are we doing once the team has the ball? And actually, we don't do too bad. If you look at our overall defense, we're got the stats over here. We're allowing about 1.02 points per possession, but off offensive rebounds, we're actually quite a bit lower. So we actually defend the offensive rebound possession pretty well. But as we saw the last Butler game, 19 offensive rebounds doesn't matter how well you defend it, that's going to end up beating you. What we thought was interesting was if we had defended the offensive rebound possession a little bit better, we could actually have been 7-7. And that's, you know, kind of typical of the season. It's disheartening, but at least during the games.
I agree with you completely there, Andy. You know, I know a lot of fans, you know, to watch a game say it gets a little frustrating when, you know, they see a shot go up on the offensive end and four guys head the other way, leaving just one guy to battle, you know, five for the rebound. And knowing that Marquette's not the greatest shooting team, why is everybody heading the other way? Why shouldn't a few guys be stuck there, you know, going for that offensive board and the putback? You know, second chance points are so important. And, you know, Marquette seems to get, you know, beat out on the offensive glass a little bit more than most teams. And I know that's a little bit frustrating. You know, I will say one thing in your write-up here. I'm always a big fan when people infuse movie quotes into an article. And here you got Marquette's an offensive, as offensive rebounding goes, there's a double deuce before Patrick Swayze showed up. Great Roadhouse comment there. I think it ties in beautifully, but it's absolutely right. Now, you're talking about the offensive rebounds. You guys in this article come up with PORPA, P-O-R-P-A, the post-offensive rebound points allowed. Now, that is, it says here, fantastic acronym, and it really is, because that really says a lot. Tell us a little bit about how you came up with that. Did you really look for the name, or is it something that just came at you?
I wish I could take credit for PORPA and the movie quote, but I cannot. We actually have a fantastic copywriter who works for us, who actually went to Madison, but is gracious enough to do all our Marquette writing. His name is Brett. He is the one that came up with PORPA, and he comes up with all the movie references. So I wish I could take credit for that, but I cannot. And that's just something he came up with himself. I couldn't tell you where it came from, but as soon as I saw it, I was as excited as a nerd guy can be about an acronym. So, I will, you know what, Jim, I can ask him tomorrow where PORPA came from. I wish, wish I knew.
that's okay. I think it speaks pretty much for itself. As I mentioned there, the post offensive rebound points allowed. And, that's a big statement. And, when it says right there, it's running just 0.58 per rebound, and that's the last time Marquette played Butler. Not a terrible number, but still not great. When you look at some of the games, some of the stats you have on here, field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, it's great because you have down there versus Butler, the five following games, what the difference is. You mentioned you're a bunch of stat geeks, but these breakdowns really do make sense. And when you look at it, all coaches across the country use different formulas to break down their stats, and they get it down to these types of detail to where they can say, hey, this is what we need to improve here. This is what we need to improve here. It really is all about the numbers, isn't it?
We'd like to think so. I mean, I'm sure there are different points of view in that the players play the game, not the numbers, but it helps tell the story, and we can find that in most situations, but basketball specifically, the numbers really do bear out what's going on. At least we seem to think so. You're right. The numbers are pretty evident, and especially this year, which is unfortunate. But we try and make them as digestible as possible. We get we have a review process, and they're not always as digestible as they should be. But I'm happy to hear that that you guys do find them digestible. So thank you for that.
I really do, and like I said, it's one of the things I look forward to seeing on the Jumbotron at the games. Because it's always some interesting stat that you never would have thought of that really does make sense. The last thing I'll pull out about your article here, unfortunately, down at the bottom, you have Marquette win probability at 10.3%. And the average margin is down 12.7 points. The way Marquette's playing lately, it's hard to argue with that. And the numbers don't lie. That's that shows exactly what they've been doing. But the fortunate thing is this team does have a lot of fight, as me and Zach said in the opening of the show. And you
Absolutely.
Can't argue with that. But the numbers tell a different story. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. We have it right here. I'm going to mark it down. Marquette fans, you can mark it down. My six, has the MU win probability at 10.3%. Average margin. Down 12.7 points.
And we hope we're wrong.
Not great numbers. I hope you're wrong, too. The numbers don't lie. That's how it breaks down. But as you said, the numbers don't play the game. The players play the game. And we'll see what happens, come the Marquette-Butler game. Hopefully these guys can prove us wrong. Hopefully Matt Carlino will be back. Hopefully Juan Anderson will be back. We'll see what happens. But Andy Martinelli of MySix.com, thanks for being with us. Appreciate you being on. And I will read this tagline down here. Data drives Marquette basketball and data drives marketing. Find out how My6 helps businesses redefine their marketing in a data-driven world by visiting www.mysix.com/process. Andy, thanks for being on with us tonight. We do appreciate it, and we'll see what happens post-game compared to the numbers that you guys put up.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
No problem. You take care.
You too. Bye.
Zach, that was Andy Martinelli of My6.com breaking down the numbers, showing us what it looks like, at least what it's supposed to look like. What do you think of the stats there, Zach?
I think they're, I mean, pretty interesting. With definitely the trend of the offensive rebounds is kind of discerning, but at least at the same time, they're not giving up as many points after they give up an offensive rebound. I think it's kind of a little bit of a silver lining there. I mean, you feel like this team definitely gives up a lot of offensive rebounds. There's a lot of times in games that there's a momentum shifting play where usually they get the stop, they get a contested shot, it goes up, and instead of coming down with a rebound, somehow the offense gets it. And that happens a couple times a game, I'd say, this year. And it definitely is kind of an issue. But again, when the team started out, their tallest player was 6'7", and Steve Taylor, I think you really couldn't ask for much more. And so I think that will get better. I thought the ones that interested me a little bit was the field goal percentage and the efficiency field goal percentage since the game against Butler. Their field goal percentage has gone up since then, and their efficiency rating has too. So, I mean, it seems like their offense, I mean, it hasn't looked better. It's kind of been a little bit of a struggle in a couple games, but it seems like they've definitely gotten a little, like, I would say the game Saturday, that was the best offensively they've looked in some time. And it seems like everything's flowing a little bit better. So with the numbers, I mean, it definitely shows, like, they may not be winning, and it may just still be tough on that end, but it shows like they're improving in some areas. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, it's good to, these numbers definitely are a very good, just I think, for anyone who is just looking to dig deeper, it's a good way to show, I think, how a team is performing. I think they really do portray a pretty accurate picture of what is really going on out there. And I think this year, definitely, like you said, they do a very good job of portraying what's going on and what's the problems and what do they need to fix. And it's good. I think they definitely have a place in college basketball. I know the analyticals of these things and the stats and all these sports, definitely people, there's a debate on if they really are that important or if they really, really mean a lot. But I think they do. I think when you dig deeper and you see these different numbers, you can definitely pinpoint some of the reasons why there's success or why they're failing in other areas. So they're good. And I do enjoy those two at every game when you look up and they kind of, it's always kind of something that's like, in a way, like, oh, Marquette should win this game because they usually do this against their opponents. And this year you kind of need those just to cheer you up a little bit when you're looking at them. But they're always good, and I definitely think these things definitely have a place.
I don't think there's any question. And, you know, a lot of times when guys talk stats, you know, it gets a little too in-depth. You know, there's so many different stats out there. There's so many different numbers you can put into it. But the way My6 does it, at least with their pregame write-ups from Marquette, it's been great. You know, they'll pick one area, analyze that area, and say that this is, you know, a big key to the game. And I really do like that. You know, especially here, they break it down to, you know, versus Butler. What happened since then, which is, you know, the five following games since they played Butler the first time. And it really says a lot. And, you know, as I mentioned, when Andy was on, you know, down at the bottom, when you see MU win probability 10.3%, average margin losing by 12.7% or 12.7 points on this one, it's tough to see as a Marquette fan, but you can't argue it. There it is, black and white. And all we can hope for is that, you know, the team battles the way they have. And if they do, I think they'll be all right. You know, we've been in every single game against bigger opponents, bigger competition. But with that, I'll have to get on the court and see what happens.
I would love to see.
Well, go ahead, Zach.
I definitely would like to see what their prediction was in the first game against Butler to see what they predicted was going to happen there, because that definitely, hang on, I'm pulling up right now. They actually had a 32% chance of winning that one, and their margin of loss was 4 points. So I think maybe home court advantage definitely played a little bit more there. So it's kind of interesting to go back. If you could, you definitely can go on their website, look back at these things, and you can see what the probability was and how close they were to happening. So it's definitely, these are definitely really cool. I definitely would take a look at them if you're a big fan. And there's something I would definitely look into.
It's great. You know, you always like going back and looking at the stat or the previews from previous games. It's one thing that always drives me nuts. When you talk about people predicting this and predicting that, when ESPN always brags about the incredible accuracy of Joe Lunardi, where Joe Lunardi updates it every single day. And as somebody like a good buddy, Matt Zukowski, Zuch, Warrior fan for life on the message board, points out, when it really comes down to it, so many of those spots are already predetermined through, you know, the power conferences, through the conference tournament automatic bids, where you're really only projecting four or five spots. The real question is where they're seated. But, of course, Lunardi gets to redo it every single day all the way up until the time it's selected. I'd like to see them go back and say, hey, here's how accurate Joe was a month ago. Here's how accurate Joe was 2 months ago. Here's how accurate he was before the season began, because that is a different picture. And but when you go with the numbers like this, I think it's going to tend to be a little bit more accurate than as opposed to somebody just throwing darts at the board. So it's great to look at, and I do appreciate Andy being on. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls. Our call-in number, 323-927-1426. Call in, let us know what you think about this team, what you think about the season. Obviously frustrating, but there's a lot of things that you got to be happy about. You got to be happy with the growth of the coaching staff, the growth of some of the younger players, and just the overall attitude of the team, despite what the record shows. So call in. We'll be back after this brief message. And, of course, with that message, do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As an Ameriprise financial advisor, Thomas Nolan, a Marquette alumnus, can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. Thomas will work with you one-on-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, he will work with you to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call financial advisor and Marquette alumnus Thomas Nolan today at 630-743-7906. That's 630-743-7906. His office is located in Downers Grove, Illinois, Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC. Confident retirement is not a guarantee of future financial results. Bruce City Ball's Inside the Al with Zach and IWB. Stick around. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. proud of them. I mean, six guys, you know, and two guys that were missing or guys that, you know, play over 30 minutes a game. So our guys keep fighting, and we will keep fighting, and we'll keep trying to build on small victories, and hopefully we can put enough of those small victories together. We can get a big victory, in our very next game.
That was Steve Wojciechowski after the loss to Villanova. You can hear it. He is frustrated, but he is proud of his guys. And we mentioned there's a lot to be proud of with this team. There's no question about that. When you look at it, there has been a lot of steps, a lot of positive steps of this team. You know, we talked about how well and how valuable the experience, how well they've been playing, and how valuable the experience is for guys like Sandy Cohen, Dwayne Wilson. That's going to be needed. But one thing Zach and I were talking about during the break was Juwan Johnson. You know, last year a lot of people were frustrated with him. In the beginning of this year, some fans were frustrated with him. But when you look at his progress over the last several games, he really is turning it on offensively. Still has a little way to go defensively, but he has come so far on the offensive end. And Wojo's taking notice. So listen to this clip, post-game Villanova, for what Wojo had to say about Juwan Johnson, the sophomore out of Memphis, Tennessee.
JJ had a really good game. I mean, to tap 20 points, 5 assists, 2 turnovers. You know, I think within the last 3 to 4 weeks, JJ's turned the corner in terms of his practice preparation. And so I think as a result, he's had his best 3-week span of the season. And so that's good. That's what you want. Those are things you want guys to learn. And it's nice to see him rewarded for that.
You know, what really stands out to me, Zach, in my eyes, hearing Coach Wojo talk about the team, talk about Juwan Johnson, is the way he prepares for a game, the way he's working in practice. You know, so many of these guys that come out of different programs in high school, and I'm not knocking his high school coach at all. I don't know how he was coached, the way he was coached. But so many of these guys come out of programs where they're so talented, coach will throw out the ball and they'll just play. They don't really understand the game prep. They don't really understand breaking down different defensively breaking down different offenses and analyzing the tendencies of different players. In high school, so many of these guys are just, I'm better than you. I'm going to go at it. I'm going to take it to the hoop. In college, you really have to become a student of the game. You have to understand all aspects of the game. And I think that's what Wojo's really hitting home there, is Juwan Johnson is really turning the corner as far in regards to understanding the game, understanding the game prep, and understanding how valuable practice is and every single aspect of practice. Zach, am I on the right track there?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it's kind of noted early in the year when he benched him for a game and they asked him why after, and he said, I didn't think Juwan was prepared to play in the game. So I think with Wojo, as you practice how you play, and he's said that since day one, and it's a really good mentality just to break in. Like, it's true. You hear that from you're in grade school playing any sport. It's you get out what you put in. And if you practice hard, the results come in a game. And if that's encouraging for Juwan right now going forward, that he's had his best weeks of practice, he's really realized that you got to put the work in, it's a good thing. And I think that's really what's impressed Wojo so far with him. And I think that's with anyone on the team. He's talked about it numerous times about different players. It's his same thing he would say is, I thought he had a great week of practice. That's how he'd explained it. Not, oh, he had a great game because of this, but more of explained why he got to that point. And that was with the practice and with the game preparation up to it. And to have a coach and a coaching staff that really honestly has all been through it before and know what to expect, I think is even a bigger thing, because you get to, they'll be on you, they'll be able to tell you what to do, be just hard on you and make you a better player. And I think that's really a really strong suit. I think something that I think really is beneficial for this team, and the fact that you can be the star player, and if you don't practice well, he won't play you. And I think that's really sending a message and a good way to do things just to keep these guys motivated and keep them doing the right things in practice.
You know, Zach, with that, there's been a lot of talk, you know, over the weekend. It was National Marquette Day, huge crowd at the Bradley Center. There's a lot of talk about the fans. I know some people online, myself included, are frustrated at how fans delay coming into the second half. But coming into that press conference, Wojo talked about the Marquette fans and how great the people at Marquette have been, not only to the guys in the program, but to him himself. Go ahead and listen to what Coach Steve Wojciechowski had to say about Marquette and the Marquette fans.
Today was a great day for our team. You know, we've had, you know, we have six guys. You know, we've had some tough times, but you know, the school and the people who support the program have never wavered. And so, you know, on behalf of our players and our staff, I just want to thank our all the people who make that a reality.
And with that, a strong statement about the fans and the support the program has. With that, we have one of the super fans, one of our favorite callers online. Matt from Milwaukee is with us, a.k.a. MU Panther Online. Matt, how you doing tonight?
Good evening, guys. Your words are too kind.
So, Matt, what do you think about this team right now, the development? You know, as I said before, you hate to say it's a rebuilding year, but it is. We have to admit that. But what are the positives you've seen from Marquette this year?
I like the energy. I like the continuous the fight. It's a struggle. You know, all fans don't think the same, so there are a lot of haters out there. Everyone wants to see wins. If they don't see wins, the negativity comes out. But, I mean, if you really peel the onion for the casual person and look at that players on the floor, other than Derek Wilson, I mean, who really has played for Marquette in their Division I college career? Sure, Juan Anderson started a lot of games, but when did the guy ever average over 10 minutes a game in his career until this season?
Exactly. You know, you're absolutely right. Juan did start a lot of games, but the minutes weren't there, and Juan will be the first to tell you that, you know, it was a frustration that, you know, he'd be on the bench for game after game, not come out of the starting, you know, start out the game, come out not knowing if he's ever going back in, not knowing when he's going back in. So really, Derek Wilson is the one with the experience, sans Matt Carlino, but that's not with Marquette. That's with BYU. But other than that, you've got a lot of inexperience out there. You know, we keep talking about Dwayne Wilson and Sandy Cohen and Juwan Johnson and their development, but you can't overlook Luke Fisher. Luke Fisher hasn't seen a lot of time prior to this season, and I think he's come a long way. I don't think he has that much help down low, so it's easy for teams to double on him. But, Matt, what do you think about Luke's progress so far?
Luke, first full year playing Division I ball, some people have questioned, is he healthy with that shoulder? How's that shoulder doing? We haven't heard anything about the shoulder. I mean, is he playing healthy or?
You know, they haven't said anything about the shoulder. I know earlier in the season when he dinged it for the second time when somebody came down on him, this was after he was out and came back. I know they told they said it was precautionary, but you could tell it bothered him a little bit. And, you know, he seems to be working the left side a lot more, using his left hand, going up with that, you know, left-handed baby hook. You know, that's a good question. You know, they're not going to say. They don't want people to know that he might have some pain. They especially don't want their opponent to know if he might have some pain. But, you know, he is still a young player, still 2 full years after this one. So I think there's a lot of fight left in Luke Fisher and a lot of upside. I think we are far from seeing the final product of what Luke Fisher's college career will be.
Oh, without a doubt. I would just like to see, maybe a lack of a better word, him being a little more greedier and taking some more shots, because him shooting more inside the paint could open up things on the outside. And there were a handful of games where he was only at about 2 or 3 shot attempts, you know, going into the final 8 minutes of a game. And you need more shot attempts out of Luke Fisher, because more than not, he's going to finish.
Exactly.
And I've been a big proponent. I want to see him shoot more of a little bit of a jump shot outside, maybe 10 feet from the basket. Something just to keep the defenders honest. Because honestly, he hasn't really – I think we've seen him taking one jump shot and he made it. And I think that's part of his game. I just definitely think if he can start knocking those down, just taking it. At this point, I just want him to take the shot. I don't care if he makes it or misses it. I just want to see him have the ability to do it. And that, I think, adds another dynamic to his game. And that's something you have to guard, then he has probably an easier time inside. And I think he has it. I just I think he's really kind of hesitant to take that shot. He doesn't want to be selfish with it. But right now, you look at this team, you look who's out there, and when they're scoring, when they need a bucket, I really would not be mad if he were to step out and take just a little mid-range shot just to keep him honest.
You know, Matt, one more question I have for you. As you look at this team, you know, NCAA waved goodbye a little while back. The NIT is starting to look less and less like a possibility. What do you hope to see from this team down the final stretch, the rest of Big East play, the Big East Conference Tournament, and so forth? What do you hope to see out of this team in this final stretch?
I think St. John's is a winnable game. That's a very helter-skelter team in the Johnnies, and you definitely want to beat that team in Chicago in the Paul on senior day and let Juan Anderson and Derek Wilson on the brightest note possible. I mean, I've talked to Derek Wilson a handful of times at your pro-am. Great young man, and that's what the college game's about, and a lot of people forget this, that these are college athletes. A lot of them are not going to be playing pro ball. We get so enamored with these football and basketball players, too much pressure on these guys, 5-4 stars, and expect too much. And we forget they're 18, 19, 20-year-olds.
You know, there's no question, especially when you look at a team like this, that it is younger guys. And, you know, I mentioned earlier people getting frustrated with Juwan Johnson and, you know, the development of Dwayne Wilson, Sandy Cohen. I mean, these are young guys. You know, 10 months ago, Sandy Cohen was playing basketball in Seymour, Wisconsin. And here he's, you know, playing on the biggest stage possible, playing in the Big East. And, you know, people go, ooh, when he misses a three-pointer. Yeah, remember, this is an 18-year-old kid who is just now tasting this stuff for the first time. So I think you're right. I think people need to realize that these are young kids. That guys like Derek and Juan Anderson, when you talk to them and get to know them, these are the types of guys that college basketball is all about. And I hope we can definitely send them out on a high note against DePaul at home. And I hope the crowd is there. I'm sure the crowd will be there for the DePaul game. But especially to send these guys out on a high note. You know, when you look at those two in particular, Juan Anderson came all the way to Marquette from Oakland, California. Didn't grow up in the greatest of areas in Oakland. His mom did her best at taking care of four kids. Got, you know, four great kids, and Juan is an absolutely great kid to be around. Just one of my favorite players on the team. And then you got Derek Wilson, who comes in from Anchorage, Alaska, growing up in a military family. He moved around quite a bit. So two guys from completely different backgrounds than what we're used to here that came to Marquette. Play their college basketball, and have been nothing but great representatives the entire time they've been here. So I hope we can send them out on a high note. And, you know, going forward, I think they can. I'm not ready to put this Butler game behind us either. But, Matt, any final comments?
No, not at all. I want to just hang in there. The future's bright. There's open scholarships should be interesting who they fill them with. And quick shout out to the Marquette lacrosse team, 3-0, nationally ranked. Never been to a lacrosse game. I think I'm going to try to go in April. They have Duke and Denver. So good things to be proud of for the university athletics and the lacrosse. So hopefully Marquette fans can support that too. And I'm one of them. So I've never been at a lacrosse game, and good things with them.
Well, thanks for calling in, Matt. We always appreciate having you on. Have a good night.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Zach, you know, Matt brings up a great point there talking about lacrosse. A program still in its infancy, already breaking into the national rankings. You can't say enough about head coach Joe Amplo. And, you know, as Matt said there, he's excited about going to a game, but he hasn't seen it, doesn't know anything about lacrosse. And the perfect example I will give is somebody that worked at Marquette up until midway through this season, Luke Lenoble, who worked in the sports information department. You know, Luke, you know, obviously guys like Scott Kuykendall cover basketball. Luke covered some of the other sports. And I think he said it best when he told me, he goes, put it this way. I covered soccer for 5 years before I ever really sat down and watched a soccer game on TV. He said it took me 30 minutes of the first game of lacrosse to be totally into it. He said it's exciting, it's fast, there's a lot of action, and I really take a lot of that. Here's a guy who worked around sports for his career, different sports, you know, volleyball, basketball, track, tennis, soccer, and then lacrosse. And he said lacrosse was the one that he hit it off with so quickly because of the action. I can't wait to get out and see it. I've watched it on TV. I haven't seen Marquette play. It should be exciting. And one thing that Marquette fans might want to keep in the backs of their minds, Luke had told me that one thing that Marquette learned as they traveled around the country playing some of these other teams, you know, that first season they only had two home games. Everything else was on the road. But one thing that he had told me was, as they go around the country, a lot of these schools, especially out east, lacrosse is a big tailgating sport. So that's one thing to keep in mind, Marquette fans. Maybe head out to Hart Park for that next Marquette lacrosse home game. Maybe pull out a grill, cook up some food, maybe have a couple cocktails, and go from there. Zach, didn't you play a little bit of lacrosse at Marquette?
Yeah, I played lacrosse for about 6 or 7 years, so it's definitely a sport that's kind of in my wheelhouse, and I loved it. I think it is one of the best sports to play. I didn't pick it up till freshman year of high school, but once I did, I never stopped. If you've never seen a game, it's like you said, it's super easy to pick up, super easy to learn the rules, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a combination of hockey and soccer. It's exciting to see people wielding around 6 foot poles and or 3 foot poles, depends what positions you play. It's definitely something I would definitely check out. I want to get out. I haven't been able to watch them yet in the past 2 years, but I definitely want to see them play Duke this year. Duke is definitely, if you want to go see some great lacrosse and see where you want to see Marquette get to in the years to come, I mean, they're already off to a great start this year with their ranking in the top 25 or top 20 in the nation. But Duke is always a powerhouse top five team. And that one, you'll see some great, great talent in that game. And it is, honestly, you start watching, you get hooked. It's definitely a growing sport. They used to tell us, and I think it's still true, it is the fastest growing sport in America right now. It's you're picking it up more and more in the Midwest. You're seeing a lot more talent in the Midwest come around. So it's definitely something you want to keep your eye on if you want to go see. I suggest it because it's a great time.
And that's one thing we'll have to look forward to, is definitely checking out Marquette on the lacrosse side of it. I can't wait. I hope to set up some type of a tailgate situation, as Luke had told me a while back. Is something that they do in lacrosse and something we could look forward to. But with that, we're going to bring in our next guest and our newest Marquette Golden Eagle from Minneapolis, Minnesota, De La Salle High School, a 6'5 guard, Sakar Anum. Sakar, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing just fine. You know, I know we talked yesterday. We're going to rehash some of those questions. Marquette fans are very excited to have you on board. Tell us how it feels to have that decision behind you and how it feels to know that you're going to be headed to Marquette to play basketball for Coach Steve Wojciechowski.
It feels great. Just the fact that I can have that burden off my shoulders over the season. You just had that thought in the back of your mind of where you're going to go. But now that I got it over with, you know, it feels great just to know that I'm going to a great, great program, a new program, a new coach, and I can come in and help you guys out. So it feels great to be coming to a great place.
You know, when you came into Marquette for a visit, you know, you came in last week, midweek. You know, I know a lot of guys like to take their visits over a weekend to catch a game. Didn't work out with you and your schedule, as we'll get into in a little bit. But tell us a little bit about your visit. Walk through, what did you do when you were on campus? What did you see?
I met with the president toward Alma Gladys Center. I also went to the Bradley Center and watched their practice a little bit. Met with the AD. Met with some of the other academic people there. You know, I got to meet, get a relationship more with the coaches, I would say. You know, meet some of the guys on the team. But everything was great. It was a great experience. You know, I really had fun. I know my family and I really enjoyed our time there. So,
you know, you mentioned that you got to meet with the president, the AD, the academic people. You know, I don't think there's too many universities that you know, bring a recruit in and introduce him to the president of the university right off the bat. I think that's incredible. But one thing you mentioned there is that you met with the academic people. I understand you're quite the student up there at De La Salle.
I take pride in my academics, of course. My dad, that's something he's installed me as a young kid. It's all about basketball. There's a life after basketball. So, so as a kid, I've always been studying and working hard in academics. So, yeah, I'll say I'm a pretty good student. So,
a dual threat on and off the court. If you're just joining us, we're here with Sakar Anim, Marquette's newest Golden Eagle, announcing his commitment to play for the Golden Eagles just 2 days ago. Well, you know, walk us through the recruitment a little bit. I know you talked to me yesterday. You said that once they started recruiting you, seriously recruiting you, that not only Coach Mark Phelps, but Coach Steve Wojciechowski, every time they came to visit, both of them came. It just wasn't one or the other. They gave you the full court press, didn't they?
Yeah, they definitely gave me the full threat. And, they definitely installed in me early. We built a relationship, I say, in 3 weeks. I mean, really, I say 2 weeks, but in that third week, they came in and already offered me. And that was just creating a strong relationship between us two. And then the fact when I came to visit, I created a better bond with the other coaches. So, yeah, and I would say everything was great. I really enjoyed my time. And I feel like our relationship's growing. It's going to continue to grow in the next couple of years. So, everything's been great.
You know, when you look at it, every player's got the aspirations to play after college, the NBA. You know, here you look at Marquette's coaching staff. You've got, you know, Steve Wojciechowski. You got Chris Carrawell. You got you got Brad Nelson. You got Travis Diener. You got these guys that all played in the NBA. That's got to be, you know, something that you really look forward to, that you're not just learning from guys that can coach, but guys that have been there themselves.
Right. Yeah, that actually went a big part into my decision. I think these guys have – I think we have one of the best coaching staffs in the country, no doubt in my mind. All those guys played high-major basketball, all the guards. That definitely went into my decision. It's going to help me develop over the next couple of years, and I feel like they're going to be able to teach me the game a lot better, make me a better player over the next couple of years. That definitely went into my decision.
You know, one question I forgot to throw in there about your visit, something that's pretty exciting and pretty unusual. On Thursday before you left, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks had a practice on Marquette's campus. It was an open practice, so fans could come and watch. You got to take that in. What was it like to say, you know, here you are at a college campus, and here's an NBA team practicing right there in your future practice facility?
Right. You definitely don't see that at just any campus. It definitely was unique. I had a great time. Just being able to learn a little bit from the pro guys. And like I said, that's definitely, I've never been to at least heard of a campus. That's why I have a pro team involved in the program that much. And, the fact that he got to practice the facility, I know Coach Walter told me that Marquette and the Bucks have a great partnership, and they've been working with a new facility or something like that in the future. So that's great. That's definitely unique, and I definitely use those resources in the future. So,
yeah, no question about that. Milwaukee is building a new arena for a new home for the Bucks, which will also be the new home for Marquette basketball. And fortunately, with you coming in, you will see that in your time at Marquette. So that is definitely something exciting. You know, when we talked, you told me, you know, I asked you about the players and the team, and, you know, obviously you came in for your visit, said you hit it off with Dwayne Wilson. But when you look at the future of the recruiting class, you know, the recruiting class you're going to become a part of, you know, you've got a McDonald's All-American and Henry Ellenson. You got another wing in Hanif Cheatham, another big in Matt Help. You guys really have a nice recruiting class coming in. How important is that to you that you're not just coming in to be part of this team, you're coming in with a strong group coming in at your side?
Right, that's definitely it's a great thing for me. I'm coming from a winning tradition in my school. You know, I'm coming in with some great talent. I know that we contributed right away, I feel like. That's going to help the Marquette team. They've been down some numbers this year, but it's like with us four coming in, we definitely can make a great impact coming in just to help the team and get to where we want to be. So.
That's exactly right. Now, let's talk about your game a little bit. You know, people have seen clips, highlights online, and that's what, you know, what's available out there on YouTube in this day and age. But you're averaging about 25.6 rebounds a game. Tell us what the strongest part of your game is that you think will help in the Big East.
The strongest part of my game, I definitely say, is getting out in transition. I love the run. Love getting out, getting buckets in transition, attacking the basket strong. I've been working in my outside game a lot this past year. Just trying to work on keeping my motor going 100% 24/7. You know, I'm a willing defender. That's definitely something that's definitely going to be able to achieve in the Big East.
I'm glad you talked about trying to get your motor going 24/7, always going at 100%. You know, it's one thing that people tend to miss, you know, when you're making that switch from high school to college. Sure, you play a lot of games in high school, but when you get to college, generally you're going to see, especially in the Big East, playing on all these NBA arenas, you're going to see a bigger court. You're going to see more games. You're going to see more practices, more practice time. So that's definitely a key to it. Talk about your defensive game. I know you've been rated as somewhat of a defensive stopper. As a bigger guard, right, that's something you take pride in?
Yeah, definitely something I take pride in, just not letting the other guy, I feel like, control the pace of my game or control the game. I don't like them. I don't like hearing about when people are going for 30 or something on other people. I feel like, I can't do that. It's a shame. So I feel like, it's just really just a pride thing for me, not that another guy scored. So,
and that's great to hear. You talk about letting other guys score. Your team up in Minnesota, De La Salle, you're looking at a team that's won three consecutive state championships with your eyes on the fourth. You guys have a loaded team up there. You play again on Thursday. Tell me a little bit about how your season's gone and where you're headed.
Season's going real good. I'm not sure our exact record. I'm thinking we're 18-3 or something around that range. But season's going real good. We graduated with a great senior class last year. A lot of people expected us to be down coming in. No one really knew what to expect, but I think we really shocked a lot of people. Coming in, we got a playoff start this Thursday. Now it's when you lose, you go home. So now you got to put all the effort in, try to get this four-peat. It's not going to be easy, but you got to treat every team like a championship team and just work hard, work at it every day. So.
That's exactly right. I know you guys are one of the higher seeds in your sectional. As everyone says, you should win that first game. But as you said, nothing's a guarantee. The games get tougher and tougher every step of the way. How much would that mean to you to win another state championship for De La Salle? And have people there gotten spoiled? Are they expecting a state championship?
Right. I think people expect us to win the championship. It definitely means the world to me. But like I said, nothing's ever guaranteed. It's only been done, I think, once or twice. I'm pretty sure it's only been once, though, in Minnesota that a team has won four championships back-to-back-to-back-to-back. So it definitely would, our names will go down in history as one of the rare people to do that. So it would definitely be great to me just to know that I was able to accomplish that in my 4 years in high school.
You know, that would be pretty incredible. It's so hard to get to a championship game. It's so hard to win a championship game. But here, De La Salle's going for number four in a row. That would be pretty incredible. I'm sure it would mean a heck of a lot to you to having won a state championship all 4 years that you're in high school. And hopefully you can carry that tradition on to Marquette, winning some championships. But when you look at it, you know, right now you're playing for a great coach, but come a year from now, you're going to be playing for a guy named Steve Wojciechowski. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with Wojo and what you think of him. You know, he's still new around here, so a lot of Marquette fans are still finding out about him. Tell us about how you and Wojo hit it off.
Me and Coach hit it off real well. Of course, he's played college basketball. He's been in my position. You know, he knows the fact that I liked how when he first started recruiting me, he seen what a lot of people didn't see in me. He seen that I've been playing out of position for the last couple of years just because I'm one of the biggest guards in Minnesota. So I've been playing out of position a lot. Yeah, but he sees what I can do on and off the court. But he definitely just sees my potential in me. He knows that I can play with a chip on my shoulder and what I can do for the program. So I know Coach Walter is a great coach. Played at Duke. He's done from the best. Coached at USA. I wouldn't rather play for any other coach really in the country. I know he's gonna hit it up real well this year.
Yeah, hey, you know, things might not be going great this year, but they are on the right track.
Right.
You got a lot of young talent at Marquette right now, a lot of talent with yourself included coming in next year. And as you said, one of the best coaching staffs in the country, without question, with the experience
right.
that those guys have had
right.
on the court. I'm going to end it with the same question I asked you the other night. You know, you got a whole bunch of Marquette fans listening to this out there right now. What can you tell them that they should expect from you coming into the Marquette basketball program?
You actually expect a guy that's going to come out, work hard every day. You know, you got a player that's going to be in the gym, be a gym rat, work on his game 24/7. You're going to see consistent development over the next 4 years. Roll out to the kids, and just an overall great person for Marquette.
You know, Sakar, it has been great having you on the show. We'll let you go now. I know you got a lot of work to do. Not only for your schoolwork, but a lot of preparation coming up for Thursday's playoff game. We want to wish you the best of luck to that game and in your pursuit of that gold ball, winning another state championship for De La Salle. But again, congratulations on your commitment to Marquette and your commitment to come and play basketball for Marquette. And we want to wish you all the best and say welcome to Marquette.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on. I'm glad to be part of the Marquette family. Go Marquette.
I just remembered one more question that I forgot to ask, if you don't mind one more.
Oh,
seeing some
yeah,
of these
no
highlights
problem.
For you at De La Salle, you're wearing number 15. Can't wear number 15 at Marquette because that number is hanging in the rafters from one of the most famous players to ever play at Marquette, Butch Lee, who was the first team All-American when Marquette won a national championship. So you might be disappointed you can't wear 15. What number do you want to wear in college?
I'm going to be wearing number 2.
Number 2, that's a good number to be wearing. Well, Sakar, thank you very much for calling in and taking the time with us tonight. Good luck on Thursday night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, take care.
Yep, no problem.
Zach, that was newest Marquette Golden Eagle, Sakar Anim. What did you think?
I thought it was great. I think you really can see what Wojo saw in him, just the way he carried himself in that interview. We've had so many great recruits on this show that you kind of see the pattern of who Wojo's going after, the kind of guys that can carry themselves. They have chips on their shoulders. They want to be better. I mean, this guy, he had a goal since the beginning of the season. He wanted to be recruited. He wanted to prove people wrong, get up there, and he did. It's great to see that he's going to work hard, and that's his motto. And that's, I think you want something out of that kind of player. And I think defensively, he's a big guard. He's got a huge wingspan. It's huge. And I just think he carried himself so well. I'm really excited to have him a part of this team. And I think if you read your article and everything that we're hearing is that they did go all out to get him. They put the full court press on, made sure to know that they wanted him. And if that's something that Wojo wants and that's how he's going to do it, I love it. I think that's a great recruiter. That's someone that is going to go all out to get him. I mean, to come here to meet the president, and not only that, but I mean, honestly, it wasn't planned, but he got to see the Milwaukee Bucks practice at the Yale to see the connection between the NBA and college basketball that close together. I think it's a great experience for any player. So to see that, and I love what he said about how he thought this was the best coaching staff in the country, because they've all played at the NBA level. They've all played. They've all had experience. So he knows that he's going to be able to learn a lot from them And I think that's a sign of a great player, too, knowing that your coaches here are going to be able to help you and you want to learn as much as possible to make your game better. And I think just everything he said from the whole interview was good. I think I loved what he said at the end. Now he's going to be a gym rat. He's going to be there working all the time, and he's going to be the best player he can be. You want that. You want these attitudes. You want these players bought into the system that Wojo have put in place, and it's huge, and it's definitely something. It's going to pay dividends for this team going forward.
And one thing, you know, you mentioned what Marquette fans can expect of him going forward. One thing he told me on the phone last night that I was very impressed with was, he said that Marquette fans can also expect a good role model for younger kids around Milwaukee and around the Marquette program. And I think that's just something great to hear coming from a high school kid. Zach, when you look at it, we see the highlights online. We see the YouTube clips. We see everything else. But not too many of us have seen him play in person yet. The one person that has seen him play in person, Mark Miller from the Wisconsin Basketball Yearbook and wissports.net, has seen him. Mark also, along with the WBY shootout, helps put on the Wisconsin-Minnesota border battle, where they did have De La Salle play. And we're now joined by Mark Miller. Mark, welcome aboard. Great to have you on the show tonight.
You bet, Jim. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
We just finished up with Secure, and Carr said a lot of great things that we want to hear. He talked about his game. He talked about his positives. But you've seen him in person. Tell us a little bit about what you think of his game.
Yeah, I heard your interview, and I read your article today, some really good stuff from Carr. I've seen him play, I think, each of the last 3 years, actually, because De La Salle is in a lot of special events. They play in a league that they dominate. So Coach Thorson normally tries to really challenge his guys with some great non-conference games. And actually, that's where Coach Wojciechowski first saw Sakar. Coach Phelps saw Sakar when they were in Milwaukee back in December and played over at Washington and got a 2-point win against a Washington team that's 16-5 right now and playing very well. When Coach Wojo and Coach Phelps went to the Timberwolves shootout, I believe it was on January 10th, to watch Henry Ellenson play against a very good team, and Henry had an unbelievable game. Sakar also played against Morgan Park out of Chicago that day, and so he had 30-some points, and De La Salle won the game, and that's when they really picked up the interest in Sakar. And then came back and watched him maybe a week or two later in a conference game at De La Salle, and then offered him. And then I got a chance to watch him I'm trying to remember the date. I think it was February 6th in the border battle, and had a chance to talk to Coach Thorson, and he mentioned at that time that other schools were coming in. And I think it was Monday that Wojo was there at 6 a.m. with Coach Phelps, meeting with Sakar and setting up the official visit and just, showing him how much they really wanted him. So it was a pretty rapid recruitment, but I think it was one that Marquette really wanted to wrap up and obviously we're very, very impressed with his game. One thing I can say about Sakar, Jim and Zach, is that De La Salle plays terrific basketball. They really play the way I think Wojo will play at Marquette in the future. And that's really solid man-to-man defense and sharing the ball and working for a good shot on offense. So he's been exceptionally well-schooled and has played with great teammates. The point guard, Jarvis Johnson, is going to Minnesota. Last year, of course, they had Reed Travis, who's out at Stanford. De La Salle's got a great tradition of outstanding basketball. It's also a very good academic school, so he will be coming in very well-prepared. From an academic standpoint, he's a great family. So he's got all those intangibles that you look for. And then in terms of his ability on the court, he's a guy that can slash the basket. In the game I watched against Kimberly, it was a very tight game. Kimberly, I believe, has 3 losses on the season, and one of them came to De La Salle. But they did lead in the second half of that game, and then Sakar just kind of took over. He hit a couple threes. He had an and-one on a slash of the basket. Then he did a backdoor that he got a nice feed from Jarvis Johnson and made a layup. And at that point, then they were up by 7 or 8, and they kind of made free throws down the stretch to win the game. He finished that game with 24 points, and I think that's right around what he's averaging this year. One of the top candidates for Mr. Basketball in Minnesota. And, you know, I think it was a really good pickup. He, you know, people say, well, why didn't he have more offers? And I think the thing that I heard from some of the colleges that were on him in the spring last year that I wouldn't say backed off, I would say got commitments from other guys at his spot, was that he didn't shoot great during the summer from the perimeter. And that I think was the thing that everyone was kind of waiting to see. You know, he defends well enough. He's got good court presence and good poise. He doesn't force shots or anything like that. But, you know, could he make that three-point shot on a consistent basis? And last summer, maybe not as, you know, didn't shoot it as well as he would have liked, but he has shot the ball well for De La Salle this year. And it's worth noting that Jarvis missed a bunch of games with an injury, so Sakar became the offensive guy for De La Salle, and he was making those shots, you know, with two or three guys. I was aware of where he was on the court.
Valued your input. I think you're one of the best talent evaluators around. You've seen everybody in this state and the surrounding states for years. One thing that I want to ask you, you mentioned that you saw De La Salle play each of the last 3 years. Now, I know it's difficult because it's not like, you know, you knew he would be playing his college ball in your state 3 years ago. But if you can remember, what do you think about his progress over the last 3 years? And does the progress he made over those last 3 years tell you that the ceiling is very high down the road, that he's still got a lot of upside and a lot of promises for the future?
Yeah, good question. You know, I saw him last year in lacrosse at an event, and, of course, that was a game in which Reed Travis was just coming back from an injury. But Reed was kind of the guy a year ago, and rightly so. I mean, he's a heck of a player. I think he was a McDonald's All-American. So, you know, he was more in terms of his sophomore and his junior year, I think he more deferred to guys like Jarvis and to Reed Travis. But I also recall that he was a guy that you know, could really slash the basket and make a big play. And I think that's kind of what came through, you know, when he was younger. You know, how has he advanced this year? Well, I think, you know, so often now, Jim, guys up want to be the guy, you know, from the second day they get on campus, and if they're not, then they, you know, they powder, they want to transfer or whatever. I mean, we see that every year, obviously. But I think with Sakar, you know, he waited his turn. You know, he waited until it was his time to kind of be the man, so to speak, in terms of taking more shots and getting the ball more on offense and maybe, you know, being the guy to take the big shot down the stretch. So that is what I've seen from him, you know, from an on-court presence this year that has changed from the past. And then just physically, he looks a little longer. He's filled out a little bit more. He's not a weak kid by any means. He's put together pretty well. And the other thing is that, you know, when that game against Kimberly got tight and Kimberly took the lead in the second half of that game, you could just sense that he was going to take over the game, and that's exactly what he did. And that's a good sign. You know, it's always easier to do that when you're on your home court, and that's what he did. I mean, they were playing at Creighton, but it was certainly in the Twin Cities. That's kind of those are some of the few changes that I've noticed of him over the last couple of years. But like I said, I think the pipeline of getting into the Twin Cities for Coach Wojo and Coach Phelps and the entire staff is huge, especially with a program like De La Salle, because they always have really good players. And I know Coach Wojo has known Coach Thorson for a long time. It's not a relationship that just started now. I think that bodes well for Marquette in the future. And certainly De La Salle has some very intriguing young players that are currently playing on the varsity, kind of like Sakar did the last couple of years, who, you know, maybe get 6-7 shots a game right now, but are going to be the guys going forward. So that I think that's exciting as well for Marquette fans to know that, hey, we got a great relationship with Dave Thorson and the people over at De La Salle, and we'll have to take a look at some of the guys that they have coming up over the next couple of years.
You know, Mark, you mentioned some of the younger players from De La Salle. I know you have a great relationship with Coach Dave Thorson, so I know you've been in touch with him over the course of Sakar's recruitment. As far as little updates, what schools are coming in, who's doing what. When you look at, you know, what you've heard from him, what you hear and see from Wojo recruiting Henry Ellenson and Matt Helt, what do you think? Obviously, Wojo's proven he can land the talent. But what do you think about, as far as what you know, about Wojo as a recruiter, how he approaches it, how he goes after things? I got to think you're impressed with how he's handling the recruiting.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, talking to guys like Kevin Orr, the head coach at Rice Lake, and Scott Bork, the head coach at Nina, and certainly Dave Thorson at De La Salle, I think that they've been impressed with how forthright Coach Wojo is, just in terms of telling him exactly, you know, why their player will fit in at Marquette, how he will fit in at Marquette, how they see him developing over the next couple years. And even beyond that, just, you know, how the person, how, you know, Matt Helt and Henry and Sakar will develop on and off the court. I think that's really important with Coach Wojo, that he's really recruiting high character kids that, you know, that will be in the program for 4 years, hopefully. Who knows with Henry, but, you know, and guys that will be great representatives of Marquette University in addition to being very good basketball players. So I think the overall, I guess, feel from people who have gotten to know Coach Wojo since he took the job at Marquette on the recruiting path has been nothing but very positive.
And that's so great to hear, Mark. You know, recruiting is obviously vital to any program, but especially when you have a new head coach, somebody who, you know, hasn't been the head man before, to hear that they've already established themselves in a new state, in a new territory, and making waves on the recruiting trail is such a great thing to hear. You know, going forward, Mark, I know nobody knows exactly what Wojo's up to. Like any coach, he's keeping a lot of it close to his vest. But, you know, with Marquette out there right now playing six strong and a couple guys leaving the program to graduation, we've already got four players coming in for next year. But what do you think Wojo is still after in this next recruiting class? Is it a true point guard? Is it a big man? Is it both? Is it a JUCO with experience? What do you think is going to happen with these final spots?
Well, I think one thing for sure, Jim, is that they'll get a point guard. I don't think there's any question that they need one, and that is their number one priority right now, to go along with Dwayne in the backcourt, and Sandy and Sakar and Wally and all the rest of the guys that are obviously Juwan that are going to play in the backcourt next year. I think Dwayne can play the point and will play the point at times, but as we have seen this year, he's also exceptionally effective on the wing. And you don't want to take that away from him completely. And plus, we need a guy that can handle the ball. And you know, Derek's not a great scorer. We all know that. He's not a good foul shooter. We all know that. The defense doesn't necessarily respect him and guard him up close. And you know, those are negatives, obviously. But overall, Derek Wilson does an unbelievable job of not turning the ball over. He does a good job of finding open teammates. And of course, he's a great defender. So those are three things that are really going to be difficult to replace next year, in addition to his toughness as an intangibles, just as a great, you know, leader and a great kid. So I think point guard for sure. I think a possibly another athletic wing player or more of a rebounder is a possibility. And then I also think that we'll see what happens here with the fifth-year seniors. You know, if there's a guy that they can get, like Matt Carlino, to come in for a year, who can help them, who will be a good fit, I think that's a possibility. Or, you know, they might just go with 12 scholarship kids and then bank a couple for next year. So it all depends on on what's out there in the transfer field, and we all know that there's a lot of guys every year. And I do think, you know, when you look at point guards, you're looking at Tracy Carter and Devon Thomas, I think, are two of the guys that they're looking at pretty hard. Devon's a junior college player, lefty, really good handle, very quick. I haven't really seen much of Tracy Carter, so I can't really comment on him. And I think there's a couple other guys that they're looking at, too, at that position.
Well, Mark, it's been great having you on. I always appreciate your perspective. Like I said, you know more about basketball in the state of Wisconsin than anybody out there on all levels, high school, college, small college. And here you come in as our expert on a player that Marquette lands from Minnesota. You're a jack of all trades. We love having you on the show, Mark. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Hey, thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. I'm really excited about Sakar. I really think he's going to be a nice player for Marquette. And it was great to get him now. And now the guys, the coaching staff, you know, can concentrate on getting that point guard, which is so important for next year.
Great. Thanks for being on, Mark.
Okay, take care, guys.
That was Mark Miller of the Wisconsin Basketball Yearbook and WisSports.net. The utmost authority on high school basketball in the state of Wisconsin, without question. Had some great comments about Sakar Anem. Mark has seen him several times over the last 3 years and really has a great relationship with his coach up there and Dave Thorson. And it's great to hear Mark's perspective on the future Golden Eagle, as well as his perspective on, Steve Wojciechowski's recruiting tactics. You know, when you look at those three players that Mark mentioned, Sakar Anem, Henry Allinson, and Matt Held, Mark Miller's got great relationships with all three of their head coaches, their high school coaches, so it's always good to get his perspective. Zach, what do you think? You know, Mark is very positive about Sakar. I really like the way he said that Sakar has improved each of the last 3 years and that the ceiling's very high for this basketball player.
Every time we have him on, I get really excited about the future. It is great to hear that. I mean, and he's had such a good relationship with those coaches and have seen him play. And I think that's a good thing that he's grown every year, because that means he still can grow when he gets here. And I think that's huge. I think it's an exciting time to be a Marquette fan and to move forward. And I know this year really hasn't played out the way everyone wanted it to, but everything you're hearing and everyone, how impressed all the coaches are with Wojo and how he is developing these pipelines in Minnesota and Minneapolis and all these other places, it's showing what kind of coach Marquette got. And if you really look at it, this is going to be a special years down the road. It's already happening and it's really exciting. And Mark does a great job coming on, telling us about who they're going after, who that he thinks definitely is a big play. And it just shows you where this program is heading. And it's really an exciting time. Next year, I just was sitting here just thinking about how I cannot wait to watch next year, how I can't wait for Madness next year to watch, to see Henry out there, to see Sakar, to see Hanif, to see Matt Help, to see all these guys out there, see this team even better from this year. It's a great thing. And who knows, next year we can land another top 10 recruit. This is where Wojo comes in. He has the talent to be a great recruiter, and he's shown it already.
There's no question about that, Zach. The future looks bright. Can't wait to see some of these guys get to campus and see how they develop. I know that's going to take time. You can't expect a whirlwind turnaround in year one when you've got so many young players coming in that you're going to have to count on. But the future is exciting. Got an exciting young coach. Got a great staff that he's put together. Some very exciting young players on the roster right now with some excitement coming in next year. But there is still some basketball to be played. Before we get into our prediction for the Butler game, there is some Big East action tonight. Zach, you know, earlier we talked about how good Villanova is. Tonight, Villanova took on Providence at home. Now, Providence is ranked number 25 in the nation, Villanova number 6. Villanova knocks off Providence 89-61, and that one wasn't close from the get-go. So Villanova, I just can't say enough good things about that team. And then down in Chicago, kind of a little bit of an upset, if you call it an upset there. So far, midway through the first half, Creighton up 19-6 over DePaul. And in other basketball action tonight, you got Wisconsin losing to number 14 Maryland. Number 5 Wisconsin losing to number 14 Maryland, 59-53. But there is a lot of basketball left to be played. The Marquette Golden Eagles next up Wednesday night, Hinkle Fieldhouse, Fox Sports 1 against Butler. Marquette's got a shot, Zach, or don't they have a shot? What do you think's going to happen in this one?
I think they have a shot. If you want to look back to when they played them at home, they played them pretty tough, and they were in it to the end, and they honestly probably should have won that game. I think they have a big shot. I think hopefully what they do with this loss against Villanova is they use that as a confidence builder. You just played the number 6 team in the country with 6 guys and held it with under 10 points. So I definitely think they have a shot. I think the big guy for Butler's out still, I want to say, with that fractured hand. But if so, I think that is a huge upside for Luke Fisher. I think another thing that we didn't really talk about the Villanova game, but we kind of touched on, he had a big game. He was 6 or 10 from the field and had 17 points. I think that's the type of game we need from him, game in, game out. I know it's kind of unfair to put on his back, but he's that type of player that can do that, and hopefully he'll have another big game. He's definitely the player I'll be watching tomorrow night. Hopefully he can get it done. I think it's going to be tough. Butler is a very good team. They're the top defensive team in the conference. So you almost kind of saw that happen in that game on Saturday when they lost, when they're up 10, is that 3-minute mark, Butler kind of clamped down on defense and just completely shut them down. So you got to avoid that this time. Hopefully we'll get Carlino back. He's been taking contact in practice. So that's a good sign. If he's back, hopefully he can just get the cobwebs out and start shooting pretty well. We definitely could use that. But I think this team definitely, from the last Butler game and now, I know they haven't really played, hadn't shown in their record, but I think they've improved offensively. I think their offense is a lot smoother now than it was then. And I definitely think it's going to be a good fight. I see it being close. I don't see it being a 10-point game or anything like that. I think it comes down to the wire. It all depends on just defense and hustle for them. And I think they have a good shot. I really do. I'd say they might pull upset tomorrow just because I think it's one that they can get, and it'd be a big win and a big confidence booster for this team.
And Zach, you brought up a lot of good points there. One, you mentioned it's not fair to put so much of a load on Lucher's shoulders. But I think you're right. And I think one thing I've noticed is that, so many of those games where, say, well, Luke didn't score much or Luke didn't rebound much, so many teams there for a stretch, 3-4 games in a row, Georgetown comes to mind, Creighton comes to mind. So many of these teams have been putting so much pressure on Luke, not just physically, but double teaming him, cutting off the pass inside, defending him hard down low. And when you say he had a pretty darn good game against Villanova, Villanova played him straight up. They didn't they didn't double down. They didn't focus on him as much as they did just play straight up ball on everyone. And I think that really helped Luke, and I think you're going to see Luke having a big game against Butler. And I know the My Six stats, numbers don't lie. MU's got a very small percentage chance of winning. They put the probability at 10.3% with an average margin of 12.7 points down. I don't think Marquette's going to lose by 12.7%. Call me a homer if you want, but I think Marquette is going to shock Butler in this one. I think you're absolutely right that, they're going to, use that Villanova game to fuel it. Hey, look, we lost to the number 6 team in the country on a narrow margin with only 6 players. And hopefully you'll have Juan Anderson back, Matt Carlino back. I think Marquette is going to shock Butler in the Hinkle Fieldhouse. As hard as it is to win there, I think Marquette's going to pull off a very narrow victory, but I do think they'll pull this one off, and hopefully they can use that to spring them forward to get some wins down the stretch and end the season on a high note. I know that's going out on a limb a little bit, and people are going to say I'm a homer, but there is only one homer in Milwaukee, and that's Stephen Homer True. Great to have him back on the air, by the way, after suffering a very Matt Carlino-like concussion. I think that's what's going to happen. I think Marquette's going to pull this one out. Again, it is Wednesday. It is in Indianapolis against Butler, Hinkle Fieldhouse, 7 o'clock, Fox Sports 1. Also on ESPN Milwaukee with Jim McElvain and Steve the Homer True on the call. With that, that's our show tonight, Max. We want to thank our guests, Andy Martinelli of My6.com. Apologize for continuously calling Mizzix. Just a habit from seeing it up on the Jumbotron, but My6.com. Andy, thanks for being with us tonight. Sakar Anim, the newest Marquette Golden Eagle. Can't wait to see him in the blue and gold. Best of luck to him with his quest of the fourth gold ball up there at De La Salle in Minneapolis. And welcome to Marquette, Sakar. You're a great guest on the show tonight. And as always, Mark Miller, one of our favorite guests, Mr. Wisconsin High School Basketball. He is the utmost authority in his state. Mark, thanks for sharing your thoughts with us tonight, as well as our caller, Superfan Matt, a.k.a. MU Panther. Thanks for being with us. With that, Jim Ganser, the IWB, Zach Klubcheck, Bruce City Balls inside the Owl. We'll be back next week. Hang in there, Marquette fans. The future looks bright.